The city is baking. The asphalt sizzles. The trash on the sidewalk reeks. The families we pass carry ice pops that shrink with every step, melting down their fingers. Sunlight glances off buildings like a laser-based security system in an out-of-date heist movie, and I feel like a glazed donut that's been left out in the heat for 4 days. Meanwhile, even 5 months pregnant and despite the temperature, Libby looks like the star of a shampoo commercial.
Three times?
She sounds awed.
How does a person get dumped in a full lifestyle swap three times?
Just lucky, I guess, I say. Really, it's four, but I never could bring myself to tell her the whole story about Jacob. It's been years, and I can still barely tell myself that story. Libby sighs and loops her arm through mine. My skin is sticky from the heat and humidity of midsummer, but my baby sister's is miraculously dry and silky. I might have gotten Mom's 5 feet and 11 inches of height, but the rest of her features all funneled down to my sister, from the strawberry gold hair to the wide Mediterranean sea blue eyes and the splash of freckles across her nose. Her short, curvy stature must have come from Dad's gene pool. Not that we would know. He left when I was three and Libby was months from being born. When it's natural, my hair is a dull, ashy blonde, and my eyes' shade of blue is less idyllic vacation water and more last thing you see before the ice freezes over and you drown. She's the Marianne to my Eleanor, the Meg Ryan to my Parker Posey. She is also my absolute favorite person on the planet.
Oh, Nora.
Libby squeezes me to her as we come to a crosswalk, and I bask in the closeness. No matter how hectic life and work sometimes get, it's always felt like there were some internal metronomes keeping us in sync. I'd pick up my phone to call her, and it would already be ringing. Or she'd text me about grabbing lunch, and we'd realize we were already in the same part of the city. The last few months, though, we've been ships passing in the night. Actually, more like a submarine and a paddleboat in entirely separate lakes. I miss her calls while I'm in meetings, and she's already asleep by the time I call back. She finally invites me to dinner on a night I've promised to take a client out. Worse than that is the faint, uncanny off feeling when we're actually together. Like she's only halfway here. Like those metronomes have fallen into different rhythms, and even when we're right next to each other, they never manage to match up. At first, I'd chalked it up to stress about the new baby, but as time has worn on, my sisters seemed more distant rather than closer. We're fundamentally out of sync in a way I can't seem to name, and not even my dream mattress and a cloud of diffused lavender oil are enough to keep me from lying awake, turning over our last few conversations like I'm looking for faint cracks. The sign has changed to walk, but a slew of drivers rushes through the newly red light. When a guy in a nice suit strides into the street, Libby pulls me along after him. It's a truth universally acknowledged that cab drivers won't clip people who look like this guy. His outfit says, "I am a man with a lawyer." Or possibly just, "I am a lawyer."
"I thought you and Andrew were good together,"
Libby says, seamlessly re-entering the conversation. As long as you're willing to overlook that my ex's name was Aaron, not Andrew.
"I don't understand what went wrong. Was it work stuff?"